Welcome back to the Kingdom Influencing Podcast. I am your host, Derek L. Calhoun. And now, a word from our sponsor. Looking for a new career path or an opportunity to create financial stability for you and your family? Consider being a solar energy consultant. Embark upon a rewarding long-term career path where you're paid to advocate the advantages of solar energy. Join the Solar Harbor Consultant team. This is more than just a business venture. It's a unique opportunity to build a substantial, enduring career that leaves a lasting, positive impact on the world. Join the clean energy revolution. For more information, contact Lorenas Harrison, your solar professional agent, at 678-379-7541. 678-379-7541. This is a paid advertisement. The contents of this podcast are not the expressed opinions or the culture of Harbor Solar. The solar industry is one of the fastest growing industries in America, so consider it. And if you do, make sure you tell them you heard it on the Kingdom Influencing Podcast. Let's pick right back up. We're on number 3 of the Leadership Toolbox. This one is on biblical leadership, and it is probably going to be one of the most impacting of the 3 Leadership Toolbox podcasts that I've taught. So let me say something about biblical leadership. Biblical leadership is spiritual. Biblical leadership requires a biblical worldview. That is the ability to see things out of the eyes of God or through the eyes of Scripture. And it's very hard now because we live in a postmodern society where people want to see what they want to see and do what they want to do. So this requires a stand-up kind of leadership. Biblical leadership requires submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is within the context of submission to the will of God that He, God, lends us the Holy Spirit, who then assumes the role of leading us and guiding us to all truth and understanding. Being submitted to God will always illuminate your pathways. Hence, when I read Scripture, I see it out of a different set of lenses than I did before I dedicated my life to Christ. Using a portion of the first chapter of Joshua, I will show you what I didn't see almost 30 years ago when I first laid eyes on this text. And this text has always been dear to my heart. It is a meaningful text. But as years transpire in your life and you continue to read the Bible doesn't change. Your ability to read into the depth of the Scripture does, as your relationship with God increases and your experiences in life increase. So let's begin with verse 1. It said, after the death of Moses, I'm going to stop right there because this is where we always kind of go wrong or we go awry. We read the Scripture with intent to just read through it and look for the Scriptures that stick out. But when you're reading God's Word, you need to stop and just think about what's being said. This is a typical prepositional phrase. After the death of Moses. After the death of Moses, if you think about it, it is the end of a season. It is an end of a jurisdiction. It is the end of a legacy and the beginning of another. It is a powerful transitionary phrase that lets us know God is shifting and something else is getting ready to happen. Moses, the servant of the Lord, I read that and then it just occurred to me, we can only serve the Lord for a season. Moses was with us for a season and each of us has a season, but each season has an expiration date. Thus, our service to God has an expiration date. So if you're serving God now, we need to do it as unto the Lord. Do it with all of our ability. Do it with all our might. Love Him with our whole heart, mind, and soul. I'm talking to leaders today. It came to pass is another phrase that represents transition. The fullness of time. It came to pass at a certain point, at this juncture in the road, at this zeitgeist moment. The fullness of time, the appointed time, represents the completion of a Kairos season. A season has ended at the fullness of time, but a season is also beginning at the fullness of time. The Lord spoke. this is critically important, and I know I'm taking this scripture down in very bite-sized chews, but it's critically important. The Lord spoke. Why is it important? Because we should not move unless God tells us to move. So in kingdom servant leadership, the Lord must initiate the action. In kingdom servant leadership, as we lead under the guise of being in the kingdom, God must initiate the action. He has to communicate to us in order for our actions to be valid. In short, we need his authorization to operate in the kingdom. So we can't just be in the kingdom and be renegade. We can't just be in the kingdom and be maverick. That's what's wrong with a lot of people today. We just all want to do what we want to do. We will never amount to anything when we just continue to go down the path of wanting to be self-willed. So I'll go back to our original point. In short, we need his authorization to operate in his kingdom. We need a word from God. God needs to speak into our life in order for us to operate in excellence. So again, this is called operating in excellence because we are getting our orders or instructions from he who is preeminent or the most excellent in the kingdom. This is the paradigm. This paradigm is the template for true excellence. This must be duplicated through our leadership culture in order to breed an atmosphere of excellence. Excellence is the desire to please God, and the overflow of this relationship overwhelms men. Excellence is a desire to please God, and the overflow of that relationship overwhelms men. It blesses men. When we violate this paradigm, we are operating in the flesh under the guise of good intentions, which will never be excellent. You will never create a spirit of excellence with good intentions. Only that which is birthed in excellence has the potential to be excellent. Only that which was birthed in an excellent God has the potential to be excellent in the earth. In Christ, where there is no relationship, there is no authority. So when we don't have relationship with God, we don't have any authority. When we don't have relationship with people, we don't have any authority. When there is no relationship with God, there is no authority coming from God. Likewise, when you have no relationship with your staff, you have no authority. Relationships should be built on more than a transaction. I work and you provide a paycheck or stipend. That's transactional. When is the last time you had a relationship meeting with a staffer without a need attached to it? You didn't want anything. You didn't want to get something accomplished. There was no goal that needed to be met, no objective that needed to be established. But you just merely met for the sake of meeting because you care. You were just checking in just because you care. You want to establish a posture of just checking in just because you care with no strings attached. Now that is agape love. Agape love for God and man will fuel your organization to exponential growth. Agape love for God and man will fuel your organization and give you exponential growth. Agape love, or the relationship with God and man, is cultivated through two things: prayer and the study of God's word. Studying God's word must be a way of life and an act of worship. Let me say that again. Studying God's word must be a way of life and an act of worship. Let's go to verse 2 very quickly. Divine authority manifests in directions, instruction, assignments, and guidance. So watch how verse 2 begins. The next phase, Moses had his assignment, and now Joshua had his. Arise. Whatever Joshua was dealing with, and we are dealing with things, but you have to arise from your dysfunction. You have to arise from your funk, your fear. You have to arise from your despair, your hurt, your bereavement. You have to arise from feelings of uncertainty. You got to move. You got to shift with God. A new assignment is in action. And guess what? Tag, you're it. You're the next leader. go over this, Jordan. Let me say this before I even get to the next thing. When you're the next leader, it's not your election of yourself. It's God's election of you. And God knows what's in you. He knows how much you're able to bear. He knows what you're able to accomplish because he created you and he put a little of himself in you. And because greater is he that's in you than he is in the world, you can do whatever it is that God is calling you. So the first thing that a leader must do is accept the call of God, the mandate of God on your life. So here, Joshua gets his second thing. First thing was to arise. Then God says, go over the Jordan. Now, in those days, this was nearly an impossible task because of the time of year. It was this time of year that the Jordan literally overflowed its banks. So imagine you being a new leader and God saying, I need you to take all of the children of Israel over this Jordan River, and all you have no boats, you have no paddles, you have no nautical skills because you've been in the wilderness for the last 40 years, but you have God. And what I want you to get across to you and leadership, you have to know that you always have an X factor. That X factor is that you have God. Wait for further instruction and God will tell you how to accomplish what it is he's called you to do. Whatever God's called you to do, he will give you the instruction to accomplish it. That's why I made this little statement. His will, his bill. Your will, your bill. You don't want to go in the flesh. You want to go in the spirit. Good leaders walk in the spirit. So God literally wanted him to just go over the Jordan. Why? Because he wanted to bless the people of God. He wanted to instill confidence, another level of confidence into the people of God. So you and all this people to a land I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Here's the fulfillment of the promise that he made to Abraham. When God is giving us land, he's also giving us authority over the land, which comes with the responsibility of taking excellent care of the land and its inhabitants. When God gives us land, he's also giving us the authority over the land, which also comes with the responsibility of taking excellent care of the land and its inhabitants. Okay? So good leaders take care of everything that God has given you. And finally, with authority comes increased responsibility. Too much is given, much is required. I've just went over two verses, and that's enough right there to just settle in our spirits, let it drop into our hearts. Let us begin to make the turn to true biblical leadership. Remember, true biblical leadership starts with God. True biblical leadership starts with submission to God. True biblical leadership then starts with obedience to God. So it starts with God. We submit to God through submission, and then we become obedient to God so that we can hear his word. And when we're hearing his word and we operate in what we heard, then we are operating in excellence, and God will always get the glory, even if he gives you an insurmountable task. You've been listening to the Kingdom Influencing Podcast. I'm your host, Derek L. Calhoun. I hope you've been blessed by this leadership series. So here's what I want you to do. Go and influence the nations. God bless.